The book of Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read two short passages from the New Testament, and then I'm going to pose a question which we're going to ask God to answer from His Word. Beginning to read in Colossians 1, verse number 12, the words of the Apostle Paul. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus. That redemption provides for the forgiveness of sins. Now in the book of Hebrews, reading from the 9th chapter, beginning to read in verse number 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined to you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Without the shedding of blood is no remission, no washing away of sin. Sin cannot be cleansed without the blood. Now bow your heads with me, please, and let's ask God to speak to us about this subject. Dear Father, we acknowledge that Your Word is alive, that it's life to us. We acknowledge that all the instruction that we need in the ways of righteousness in the things of the kingdom of God is contained in Your Word. I thank You, Father, that the ability and the authority to preach this Word with revelation and clarity resides in me, given to me as a gift by Your Spirit. And I thank You, Lord, that as I declare Your truth today, that it will be clear and understandable, and that the entrance of this word will give light unto the people, and understanding even to the youngest, to the most simple. Thank You, Lord, for the life that comes by the hearing of Your word. Let us see clearly today, Father, the importance of the blood, and why it is that the blood is so significant, why we hear so much about it in the Christian church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning we're going to be observing the supper of the Lord. We're going to be eating of the bread, and we're going to be drinking of the cup, the juice, which is representative of the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for us. There are many, there are many church members, and even those who are believers in Jesus, have been born again, and yes, even Spirit-filled, who do not understand the significance of the blood. And they do not understand why the blood is so important, and why in our churches we sing about the blood. Why we sing nothing but the blood of Jesus. Why we sing there's power in the blood. Why we sing the blood shall never lose its power. Why, when we read the accounts in the Scripture, some of which we've read here today, that we see that our religion is, you might say, a bloody religion. We are like Zipporah, and we don't understand the means that God has chosen to bring redemption to His people. You remember the story of Moses' wife, Zipporah, and when Moses was called into the work of the kingdom of God, and when he was on his way to Egypt, and his oldest son, Gershom, was uncircumcised, did not bear the sign of the covenant. And along the way, the Lord met him, and the scripture says, and the Lord sought to kill him. And the reason was because he had not been obedient to the law. He had a boy that was uncircumcised and did not have the sign of the covenant. And when Moses realized what was going on, he took his knife and he circumcised his son right there in the inn. And Zipporah took the foreskin of her son and she threw it at her husband's feet. And she said, "Thou art a bloody husband unto me." She didn't understand the blood. She didn't understand the importance of the shedding of blood. And so it is today that there are many Christians that do not understand. They sing about the blood and they talk about the blood, but they don't understand the importance of the blood. Why is it that there is so much emphasis upon the blood, and especially upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? I have heard it said that the Christian religion is called a bloody religion. Well, I tell you, there isn't any religion more bloody than the Jewish religion, not today's Jewish faith. But under the time of Moses, on the Mosaic law, it was so bloody that when they had services, they took the blood of the calves and the bulls and the goats, and we read it from Hebrews, they sprinkled everything. When you went into the tabernacle, you got sprinkled. The blood was shed, and it was sprinkled on the altar. It was sprinkled on the book that Moses had written. It was sprinkled on the people. It was sprinkled on the tabernacle. There was the sign of blood everywhere. And wherever you went in that tabernacle, you saw blood. They sprinkled it on the altar of incense. They sprinkled it on the altar where the sacrifice, where the fat was offered. They sprinkled it on the priest. They sprinkled it on the people. They sprinkled it on the mercy seat and the Holy of Holies. It was on the curtains. It was everywhere. Talk about bloody. That was bloody. Why? Why? Why the big deal about the blood? What is the significance of the blood? Why is it that God had established these means to take care of man's sinful condition? We've got to go all the way back to the book of Genesis in order to see it. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 1. If this is revelation for you today, the communion service will be more meaningful than it ever has been in the past. If it is not revelation for you, just rejoice once again in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. I'm reading from Genesis, the first chapter, verses number 26, and those few verses that are following. And they have to do with the creation of man, and there's a truth here that I want you to see. Some, you see, have thought that God is a bloody God. Some have thought that God is bloodthirsty, even. And some have been repulsed at the emphasis upon the blood in the true faith. The reason for that is that we don't understand the importance of the blood. And the natural man is repulsed at blood. I'm going to show you why in just a moment. When you see blood, a person who is not a nurse, a doctor, working with that, when you see blood, what happens to you? You recoil, don't you? Some of you want to go this direction with it. If you see your own blood, what happens to you? Fear. Head get lightheaded. Have you ever had a real fast accident where you lost a lot of blood? Very quickly. It's not the immediate loss of that blood. This is the thing that really causes you your problems inside of it. You know, you see people have a little scratch, see a little bit of blood, and they go lightheaded and fall over in a faint. Now, I'm going to show you this morning why they do. Why they do. Why natural man does that. All right, we're looking at the 26th verse. Now, Genesis is the book of beginnings, and Genesis is where we see God's original plan and God's original purpose. Many times we make judgments about God based on what we see today that aren't really true because we have not gone back and looked at the book of beginnings. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, now this next verse is the key verse. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now let me uncover what's in that scripture. When God created man, and when he created woman, and when he created all of the animals, and I want you to note the verse that I emphasized, or the words that I emphasized in verse 30, wherein there is life. God's original purpose at the time of creation was that there should never, ever be a shedding of blood. God gave to man the plant kingdom for food. God gave to the animals the plant kingdom for food. The word that is translated here, herb, literally means plants, vegetables, that which is non-flesh. And God said to his man, I have given you all of the fruits of the earth and all of the vegetables of the earth, and I have given you all of the plants of the earth, and that shall be your meat. That shall be your food, in other words. You are to eat all of the plant kingdom. For the beasts that are in the field, the fowls that are in the sky, and all of the things that creep upon the earth, everything that has life in it, watch that word life, I have given unto them the plant kingdom. It is not my desire that cats should eat rabbits. It's not my will that lions should eat antelope. It is not my plan that either mankind or beast should ever shed blood for food. God's perfect plan, his very good plan in the beginning, was that there should be no blood shed. God is no bloody God. He did not have a plan for the shedding of blood. It was not in his plan. And if you'll go over to the book of Isaiah, perhaps you just hold your finger there, Genesis, because we're coming back, but go to Isaiah chapter 11. And also you might look at the 65th chapter, not right now, but sometime later, of the book of Isaiah. You will find out that when the new heaven and the new earth come into existence, that there will again be a time when there's no bloodshed. For we are told here in chapter 11 about the stem of Jesse and a branch growing out of his roots, and how he will judge with righteousness, and he will be the one who will be governing, Jesus that is. Verse 6 tells us that the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Now you and I know that's not happening today. A wolf comes upon a lamb, and he will tear that lamb and shed its blood and consume it. But in the day when God's plan for the earth is perfected, and it becomes as it was that he established it in the beginning, that the wolf and the lamb will lie down together, and the lamb will have no fear, because the wolf will not be hungry for lamb meat. The leopard will lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. You see, the child need not be afraid that the lion is going to tear him apart and shed his blood. Because God's perfect creation does not have any blood shed in it. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat what? Straw, like the ox. The lion shall cease to be carnivorous. The wolf shall no longer desire flesh. There will be no blood shed in the kingdom of God. God's purpose and his plan was never to have the shedding of blood. In the beginning it was not so. In the end it will not be so. Something has happened in between. And that something happened in Genesis chapter 3. Now, if you'll turn back to where we were in Genesis, I want to show you first, in the second chapter of Genesis, the 17th verse, a very clear warning that God gave man. Now, we like to read this passage of Scripture, and we like to see Adam in this passage, but we don't like to see ourselves. We like to say Adam sinned. But we need to know, beloved, that we were in Adam's loins when he sinned. And the essence of it is, had we been there, and it had been Vic, or Howard, or Tommy, or Lori, or Ed, or Max, or Jenny, or Cindy, or whoever it was, if we'd have been there, we'd have done the same thing. We may not want to acknowledge that, but that's the way it is. We were in our ancestor when he sinned, and what he did passed down upon us. In the same way that you were born white or you were born black, and you had no choice over that. You were born yellow or you were born red. You had no choice over that. You were born because of the heritage of your parents. That's the condition you came into this life. You came into this life a Rock Hill or a Cross or a Coss or a Richards or a Black. You didn't have any choice over that. You came in looking the way you do. You didn't have any option on that. That was the inheritance that came down. You also came in a sinner because it was Adam's nature passed on to us. Before that ever happened, God spoke to mankind and he said, in the second chapter of Genesis, the 17th verse, he said, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now here is the first mention of anything that is less than perfect. This is the first mention of death. It's the first mention of tragedy. It came from the lips of God, and it was said as a result of disobedience and sin. As long as you maintain your obedience, this will never happen to you. But if you sin, there will come death. Clear warning. Well, we know what happened in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. Eve took of the fruit, tempted by the devil, and she ate. She then gave to Adam, and he ate. When they did, they died in their spirits. Inside them, they became separated from God. And death was now at work in the earth. The first person who ever shed blood, do you know who that was? Do you know who the first person was to shed blood? Think now before you say this. The Lord shed blood. He was the first one. He was the first one. Do you have any idea the agony that it must have cost him to take those innocent animals that he had created so carefully, to kill them and to shed their blood in order to get some skins to cover up his man and his woman so that they would not see their own nakedness? God never wanted to shed blood. Never was his desire. But in order to cover their sin, in order to cover up the effects of their wickedness, he was forced to shed blood to get some animal skins to cover up their naked body so that their shame could not be seen. And so we have blood shed as the result of what? sin. Blood was shed the first time by God Almighty because of man's sin. And we read it in the third chapter of verse number 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothed them. I don't know how many times I read that verse and I never thought about where God got the skins. But I have since found out he did not go down to J.P. Allen and get them on their super special summer sale. That he had to kill some of his creation in order to get the skins. But why blood? Why did he have to kill? Why did death have to take place? And why this emphasis on blood? Turn to Genesis 9. Let's look at a few more scriptures here, and I think we'll see it more clearly. In Genesis 9, the flood has come. It has destroyed all of those that were on the earth, with the exception of Noah, his three sons, and the four wives. The flood has now receded, and Noah, the ark, have come to rest. God speaks to Noah and says in verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing, now watch this change. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. In addition now to plant life, I give you the animal kingdom for food. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Now if you'll watch this carefully, you'll get a hint of where we're going. It's in the fourth verse. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. What God is telling Noah is you can eat all the meat that you want, but you cannot eat it with the blood in it, because the blood is the life of the flesh. In the blood is contained the life of living creatures. Turn over now to Leviticus. Chapter number 17, and read this passage with me. Chapter 17, beginning to read in the 10th verse. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, No soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. Whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of the flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. All right, now here's the key. When flesh is alive, it has blood flowing in it. If you take the flesh of any living creature and extract the blood, you will have what kind of a creature? A dead one. Flesh without blood in it is dead. The blood not only represents the life, it is the life of the flesh, because the flesh without the blood is dead. Now go with me in thought here to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, where we are told that the wages of sin is death. Genesis 2:17 said, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Ezekiel 18 and verse 4 and verse 20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall." The symbol of death is. The symbol of death is. The blood. The blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Therefore, when the blood comes forth from the flesh, it produces death, doesn't it? If I hold your blood in my hands, you're dead. I can look at your blood and know you're dead, can't I? If you'll read the book of Genesis once again in the fourth chapter, you will see in the story concerning Abel and Cain that when God came down, he spoke to Cain and he said, "Cain, where is thy brother Abel? His blood crieth out from the ground." He said, "I see the man's blood. I know he's dead. What'd you do to him?" The blood is representative of death. And what is the wages of sin? Are you beginning to see it? Blood is representative of death. Death is the price that must be paid for sin. Unfortunately, our blood cannot pay for the sins that we have committed because our blood's not innocent. Our blood is guilty. And so all through the Old Covenant, starting from Genesis, the third chapter, the verse we read, verse 21, where God slay the animals, and made some coats of skins for his people. In the book of Leviticus, you'll read in the 16th chapter and read on through. If you read all through the book of Leviticus, you'll see that under the Mosaic law that God had ordained sin offerings, which were blood offerings. They were offerings of the blood of dead animals. And then came the day, about 2,000 years ago, it's recorded for us in several places in the New Testament, but the first one is probably one of the best. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, and it's the 26th chapter, in which the record is given of Jesus eating the Last Supper with his disciples. And in the 26th verse of chapter 26, we're told, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 4. We're told that it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. They only covered them up. Wherefore, when he, Jesus, cometh into the world, he saith, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not." In other words, these aren't adequate to wash sin from mankind. "But a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure." Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me to do thy will, O God. A man had sinned. Adam had sinned. Vic sinned. Karen sinned. Terry sinned. Steve sinned. Mary sinned, David sinned, Craig sinned, a man had sinned, therefore a man had to die. The wages of sin is death. And when a man sins, a man has to die. And killing some animals doesn't get the job done. All those sacrifices did was cover temporarily man's sin, until the Messiah, the Savior, the Lamb of God, the man of God, perfect, unspotted, unblemished, until he could come and give his life. All those who believed in the blood were made right with God. Death brought the penalty for our sins. It was laid on him, and so it was brought to naught for us. As our sins were forgiven and we have redemption through his shed blood, we have restoration with God the same way that God intended it to be with Adam when he was in the garden before he had ever sinned. And that is God's plan for redemption beginning to end. And that is the story of the blood from beginning to end. Why the blood? Because the life of all the flesh is in the blood. The wages of man's sin is death, and without the shedding of blood, there is no death. And therefore, the blood is an essential part of our faith. Especially the blood of our Savior. I said before that I would tell you why you recoiled at the sight of blood. Because inside you, whether you recognize it or not, you know that blood is the life of the flesh. And without your realizing it, when you see that blood oozing out of your body, you bet you're going to recoil, because that's your life oozing out of there. That's why it bothers you more when you see your own blood than it does when you see somebody else's. Because your life. Don't you understand that? See, that's inside you. You know that inside. You might not be able to express it to anybody, but you react on the basis of it. So when you see blood, you get dizzy and you faint. Now, sure, I mean, when you lose a lot of it, of course, you're going to get lightheaded. You're going to get dizzy and faint anyway. I'm talking about, you know, just people who get a little cut or even a large cut don't lose that much blood, but all of a sudden go into a dead faint because they cannot stand the idea of their life flowing out of their body. It's a very natural thing to do. But as you think about that this morning, beloved, I want you to think about the man that hung on the tree and let his blood flow. He let it flow. He didn't go into a dead faint. But rather he said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. My blood is flowing. It's providing death in me, which will make forgiveness of all of their sins possible, that they'll be able to be made right with you. Forgive them, Lord." The blood that was flowing down from that man was washing away the sins of those who drew it. The very one that stuck the spear in his side and drew the blood was being washed with the forgiving power of God. If you don't believe that God is a God of love, then you don't understand the cross and you don't understand anything I've said today. That blood that Jesus shed that day was for you. It was for me. It was for every human being. But it'll be of no value to any of us unless we'll exercise faith in it and believe it. That's when it becomes effectual for us. What God does for us when we say, "I simply believe, I trust, and I thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood for me and for causing my sins to be washed away and making me right with God. I thank you for that. I receive you into my life. I make you my Savior, and I trust in you as the Lord of my life." Praise God, when you do that, you get a whole new life. Hallelujah. The shedding of his blood, you see, can produce death in you to the old man and life to a brand new one. The urgency that's in my spirit this morning is that each and every one of us will acknowledge publicly that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life personally and receive that new life. Would you bow your heads with me, please?